Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shalom Israel. You on Babylon Talk Radio. Brother V, Sister Tamar, we wish them good tidings and do well. Today you're with Brother Ray. And before we start, we want to give all praises to our Elohim, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one that spoke all of creation into existence, the one that created us out of that real good clay, the one that made the first operation on this planet when he took out Adam's rib and created Eve, the one that gave us an appointed time, the Sabbath day, which is a sign between us, Father, and between earth and the heavens. The one that told us to do this as a perpetual covenant that will never cease from generation to generation to generation. The one that has saved us all our ancestors out of Egypt, that took us out of there with a mighty hand, that split the Red Sea and had us walk upon dry land and brought us to the other side and tried to reason with us in the wilderness. All praises to the one that told us that he would split seven streams in the future to gather his remnant, his elect, his chosen people from the four corners of the earth and bring us back home to holy Zion, where we will know no more sin, no more death, but the righteous will live with him for all eternity. With that being said, we will face New Jerusalem facing the east. Our women with their heads covered, but for all of us to be in the right spirit when we go to our Father and pour out our hearts and ask him to bless what we're going to do today. Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil, because you have all the power and glory on this planet that we live on. And we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your grace that has given us another day, that has given us another Sabbath to get it right. We thank you for all the brothers and sisters that are fellowshipping with each other on your appointed time. We pray that we give you glory that you are only worthy of. We pray for our sick and the ones that are hurting in this hour, that you will show your loving kindness, mercy on them. We pray for their family members and the ones that we know that are not in the truth and to deny the power that you exist and control all things. We ask for you to be a light so they can come back to you and we can all rejoice together. We pray for our children in this hour, that you will keep them safe, even though we in a kingdom that wants to do them nothing but harm. We pour our souls to you, Father. We ask you for your forgiveness, because we are all sinners in this hour, and we want to live a righteous life so we can be by your side. We pray this all in your Son's name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Congregation say amen. So, today, we're going to do a lesson on grace. And most of us, when we talk to our Christian brothers and sisters and we start getting this knowledge, we said, don't let them one-line you. Don't let them get our scripture out. Tell you the one line that changes all the law. But now we've found so many Hebrew brothers and sisters, and they two-line, maybe three-line. But we're going to go into the volume of the book, because that's where our Messiah resides in all the book. Romans 6, verse 14. And it reads, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. So we want to get a full understanding of what that means. And when I tell you, brothers and sisters, that we as Hebrews, we are not in the religion, but this is a way of life. We put our faith in this. And there's no Old Testament with this and New Testament this. There is only one. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter, and we're going to start at verse 4. So when we do this lesson on grace, we're going to get the entirety of the book so we can get that good understanding. And it reads, "Hear, O Israel, Yah is our Elohim. Yah is one. And thou shalt love Yah, thy Elohim, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be in frontal between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." So when we look at this word, our master, the creator, he's one. And he says that they should be a sign, not a cross, not a picture of a fish, but the things you do with your body is a sign that you are keeping these commandments. And the frontals between your eyes, that is your mind. The things that control your speech. When someone hears you talk, they should know that you are with the Messiah, you know the word, that he is one. Mark chapter 12:24. And it reads, "And Yeshua answered, said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of Yah? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush Yah spake unto him, saying, I am Elohim of Abraham, and the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. He is not the Elohim of the dead, but the Elohim of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err." And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, he asked them, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Yeshua answering him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, Yah is our Elohim, Yah is one. And you shall love your Elohim with all your heart and all your might and all your soul and all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, and namely this, thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So our Messiah, the Creator, he is one. There is one body. And there is one spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling, one master, one faith, one baptism, one Elohim and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is giving grace according to the measures of the gift of the Messiah. That was Ephesians 4. So as we start this lesson, on grace. Understand our Messiah is one. Stop letting people break you off in the understanding of the old and the new, how they're somewhat different. The Father's grace in the old is the same as the Father's grace in the future. The word that was given to Moses is the word that we're giving to each other today. The word that was spread with Noah is the word that is spread with us today. So let's reason with each other in the volume of the book. And when they tell you that, no, this is just a New Testament thing, you tell them our Father is one and his word changes not. So now we'll get into the lesson and get that understanding that we need. We're going to go to the beginning, what we call the Torah. The Torah. We look at those as the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which means guidelines and instructions, but we simply call it the law. So when we in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, starting our lesson on grace, and it reads, "And Elohim saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually to Yah, that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. And Yah said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah." So we went to the beginning to find out what this good grace that our brother Shaul Paul is talking about. And it said that our Father, he only saw wickedness in the man was great on the earth. That means we were only sinning continually. And we had no other thoughts than sin. When we woke up, fathers were sleeping with daughters, sleeping with sons. Mothers were being the harlots, sleeping with anything they could have. We gave no thought of our Father in heaven. We didn't care for the poor, the shut-in, or the sick. We worshiped gods of wood and stone continually. We had orgies in front of the Most High. We defiled our skin. We cut into our flesh. We gave all diligence to the abominations. We fed our temples with anything that was alive or dead. Every thought in our imagination was evil. And then it said, it repented. Yah, pent means to turn back. To almost do, like we'll say, a restart, a reboot. To turn away from that thing. In our Father's eyes, to get us back to the first estate that we were in. So he destroyed all things that was on this planet, down to the insects. But Noah found grace. Eyes of Yah. So we see that grace here was not because of Noah was the only completely sinless person on the planet, but he was keeping what the Father wanted him to do. He didn't have the thoughts of continually and do that grace that Noah found in the eyes of our Creator, seven other souls were saved with him. But after that grace was established in that family, in that bloodline, as we keep reading the scriptures, they had to keep doing the commandments. They had to keep being obedient. Through the explanations of some of the stuff that happened with Noah, find out exactly the laws are given to us in Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20 on how we are supposed to have sex with each other. So the grace that Noah had that was passed down and through all the people on this planet can trace down their bloodline to Japheth, Ham, or Shem, that their grace continues. But that doesn't mean that you don't keep the Most High's commandments. So we saw what grace is here. That grace is us just still living, us still breathing, because he could have destroyed all of mankind, wiped us off the planet. Because of our forefather Noah, we have this good grace. But did it just stop with Noah? Is grace the only thing we can find there? What about our brother Moses? And all the children of Israel? Again, hear me, Israel. Our Father is one. Who else had that great grace? So we're going to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. And here we know, when we go to this part, Yah spake to Moses face to face, as two friends, as we would say, chopping it up. As if you could understand this, Israel, how you talk to your mother or father at a certain time in your life. Or as you talk to your children, or as you talk to your loved one. Now, Moses could not look directly at our Abba's face, but he was with him to see his backside, his arms, and his legs. And this is the conversation that they had. Exodus 33, starting at verse 12, and it reads, "And Moses said unto Yah, See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said to him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And Yah said unto Moses, I will do this thing.
also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of Yah before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That was Exodus 33. And here, the Most High was talking to the children of Israel and to Moses. And he asked the Most High as a friend, they not be separated, that the Most High continue to go with them. And he asked if he had found grace in the Most High, and if the children of Israel found grace in the Most High, and if it was pleasing with him for them to go with him. And the Most High said they had found grace in his sight. To understand what that means, my brothers and sisters, it wasn't because the children of Israel had somehow stopped sinning in the land of Egypt. It wasn't because we were doing such a great work that the Most High said, oh, these are my people, and they have turned back to all the commandments. It wasn't because Moses had stopped sinning. It was because we have found grace in the Most High sight, that he parted the Red Sea. Moses didn't part the Red Sea. The children of Israel didn't part the Red Sea. Because of his good grace, he parted that, took us to the other side, and continued to reason with us. Because he gave us this grace, now the children of Israel, Moses, Aaron, the Levitical priesthood, started commandments because they were supposed to love our Father, Abba. They were given grace to do the Father's will. You can see after this grace was given to them in Exodus that they kept the Sabbath day, that they kept the feast days, Passover, days of unleavened bread, first fruits turned into the feast of weeks. They kept trumpets, tabernacle. After they got this good grace, they continued in the words of the Father. See, grace didn't make void the law. By no means it established it. So how can you let someone in Christianity, if you know the Father and the book, twist you up in knots? How if you a Hebrew, Paul, don't you take him right back to the scriptures and let him know what time it is? So we see that Noah, as it tells you in 1 Peter 3, that he had the first baptism in that ark. Again, that wasn't just a New Testament thing, baptism. It happened in the old, and Noah found grace. And Moses, it also tells you in the word that when they went through the Red Sea, the children of Israel went through a baptism. Just a New Testament thing. But they also found grace. And in every circumstance, for every children of Israel, the millions, for Moses, to Noah, to all their children, they're supposed to continue in the law. The Torah. But let's not stop there. We're going to see how wonderful this grace is, because as wicked, and we are all sinners here, and as wicked as some of us can get, we're going to read an account of David. At one point, he was tore up from the floor up. He could control his covetousness because his lust, if his heart was so great for a woman, he coveted her so bad he lied and committed murder in front of the eyes of the Most High. But he too found that good grace. God punished for his iniquity. God punished for his sin in order for him to come back. As the scribe asked Yeshaya, what is the greatest commandment? He said, hear, O Israel, our Father is one. Keep loving your Father more than anything else on this planet. That is a reasonable service for you. So let's get to it. Here we go into 2 Samuel chapter 12. And it reads, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1, and Yah sent Nathan to David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little e-lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of its own meat and drank of its own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flocks and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was to come unto him, but took the poor man's land and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as Yah liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the land fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith Yah Elohim of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of Yah to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and has taken thy wife Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith Yah, behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them to thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against Yah. And Nathan said unto David, Yah has also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. So the Most High gave David grace for all the transgressions that he did. How he lusted over Bathsheba because he saw her taking a bath. And then coveted her with all his heart. Set Uriah up, one of his generals in the battle, to first to come home and try to sleep with his wife, pass off her baby being his. When that wouldn't work, because Uriah wouldn't sleep with his wife because his men were still in battle, and how in good conscience, if they're fighting for the Most High, could he be sleeping with his woman and enjoying their flesh, enjoying the comforts of life? So he didn't do it. So then David enlisted other help to put Uriah in front of the battle so he could be murdered and killed. When he got into the front of the battle, he told the rest of them to stand back, to move back away from Uriah so he could die. How many people David a stumbling block for that had faith in David because he was keeping the commandments and then saw him kill him in order for him to start sleeping with his wife? But he found grace in the Most High sight. He found favor. Also, children of Israel, what I also want you to see in every account that we heard, that thing that was done in private, the Most High did it for everyone to see. Right now, as we live in this captivity, because of the sins of our forefathers and the sins that we continue today, the whole world see what happens to the children of Israel. But they can also see the power of the Most High if you just come back to Him and start keeping His commandments. They can see His grace in full effect. Children of Israel, as they were put in a captivity and taken out, here we still are in a captivity. But again, if we just keep the commandments, He is a sanctuary where He has spread us. So we must, by all means, keep this law in the spirit and in truth that He has given it to us. Now, as we have read these different accounts of grace in our Father's manuscript, now let's go back to Romans with new eyes and new ears. Eyes that see and ears that hear, not the ones that seeth not, not the ones that heareth not, but the ones that see the revelation of our Creator. And let's read it with understanding that He wants us to have. So when He tells us that we're not under the law but under the grace, we'll know exactly what He is talking about. And we can spread this word, this wisdom, this knowledge to all of the Most High's children, to all four corners of the earth. All right, let's start in Romans chapter 5 through verse 13. And it reads, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed, for there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Through this offense of one, many be dead. Much more, the grace of Yah and the gift by favor, which is by one man, Yeshua, the Messiah, have abounded unto many. So, before we get into six, the reason why so many twist Paul's writing, here he even took you all the way back to Adam. I took you to Noah, but he takes you all the way back to Adam, to Moses. And he tells you because of Adam's sin. That's how sin came into the world. Because Adam didn't keep charge over what the Most High did with the one thing he gave him, that sin abounded till this day. But because of the grace and the favor that you find in the Messiah, you could be redeemed from them sins. That you could be redeemed from this mortal death and have eternal life. Let's continue. Verse 16, we're in Romans chapter 5. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was one by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For by one man's offense death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Yeshua the Messiah. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, and the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign to righteousness unto eternal life of Yeshua, the Messiah, our Savior. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. And it reads, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. Now, because of Adam's sin, sin came into the world. But because what Messiah did, that sacrifice for us, it gives us a chance to get back in a relationship with the Father. Now, can we continue in sin? Adam's sin? Can you continue in sin because Noah sinned? Can you continue in sin because his son Ham sin, or Shem sin, Japheth sin? Can you continue in sin because Abraham sinned, Isaac sinned, Jacob sinned? Can you continue in sin because all the 12 children of Israel sinned, Moses sinned, David sinned? By no means do we continue in sin so we can keep having grace. Will you continue in sin so you can keep eating pork? Will you continue in sin because you can keep eating shellfish, catching gout, knowing that your high blood pressure is going through the roof? You keep praying to the Most High. That prayer is abomination if you keep sinning. Your grace will run out. The favor the Most High shows you for you a chance for you to turn back from your evil way, the evil thoughts of your imagination, that you could turn back from that, repent, and come to that first estate that you're supposed to be in, and a oneness with the Father, keeping his commandments. do we continue in sin, so grace may abound. God forbid. As we see the commandments of the Father, he says, have no Elohim before me. Have no other God but him. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. But because of grace, can you put another God before him? Can you continue to do that so grace can abound? God forbid. He tells us, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of a thing in heaven or above, or that is earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I am Yahweh Elohim, and jealous, and visit the iniquities of their fathers upon their children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So if you are making idols, if you are putting up the Christmas tree, directing it, decorating it with silver and gold, bowing down your gifts before it, putting out milk and cookies for Santa Claus to teach your children the same iniquity. He says that's a hate. And he's going to punish them 3 or 4 generations worth for doing that thing. Can you continue to do that year after year after you hear this truth so grace can abound? I know what Jeremiah 10 says, that don't chop down a tree. I know what it says in Ezekiel, don't have the weeping of Tammuz, which is December 25th. But yet you continue to do it so grace can abound. I know my Messiah for a fact didn't get born on December 25th. It tells you in Luke chapter 1, that our Messiah, his cousin, was born days of unleavened bread. The Passover, and the Messiah was 6 months younger than him. So that means he had to be born in tabernacle. Do the math, Hebrews. Could not have been Christmas. Exodus chapter 20. And showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That is grace. If you love him and keep his commandments, if you turn away from the stuff that defile your temple when you're eating, there's a blessing. You will have that good grace. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh Elohim in vain. Yahweh will not hold them guiltless that take his name in vain. But because you have grace, can you take his name in vain? Because you have grace, put out a doctrine that says that the Most High does not sit on the right-hand side of the Father. It's a woman. Because you have grace, can you teach lessons that Joseph is our Messiah's daddy? Because you have grace, can you twist every different scripture in the word so we can get your own meaning and idea of what camp you serve in? Because you have grace, can you say, I'm just reading the New Testament? We don't need the Old Testament anymore. That's done away with. Taking the Father's name in vain. He will not hold you guiltless. Your grace was given to you so you can continue to live and come back to the Father. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Because you have grace, any day you want into worship, can you just keep Sunday? How be it then that so many of our brothers and sisters die on the Sabbath day, go to jail and be in prison on the Sabbath day for breaking that commandment. You cannot continue in sin, so grace may abound. God forbid. Back to the book of Romans. We're on verse number 3. And it reads, "Now ye not, that as many of us were baptized into Yeshua the Messiah, were baptized into his death." Noah, as I told you, there's the first baptism taking place. Noah was baptized. His wife was baptized. Ham, Shem, and Japheth was also baptized. Moses was baptized. All the children of Israel were baptized. And here you need to be baptized. Not just with water, but that spiritual baptism. You are baptized. That baptism into his death. And should be resurrected into the new life. Continuing in verse 4. "Therefore, we're all buried with him by baptism into death. That like as the Messiah was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with the Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that the Messiah being raised from the dead dieth no more, no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto Yah. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Yah through Yeshua the Messiah our Savior. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Yah, those that are alive from dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto Yah. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Know ye not that you whom ye yield yourselves are servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of disobedience to righteousness. So you are either going to serve sin, or because of the grace, the fact that you woke up this morning, is no reason for you to keep sinning. Because of the fact that the Most High let you breathe, let you defeat some of the demons that was in your life, that doesn't mean that you get to serve your mortal lust. In this baptism that we are supposed to have, brothers and sisters, we are dead to the world. We are dead to all those things that keep serving our desires to make us break the law. We can't continue in sin, so grace may abound. We can't continue in sin. Our faith is supposed to establish the law. Our faith is supposed to establish when people see us and we keep the Sabbath day. Our faith is supposed to establish when people see us, we keep all the appointed times, the Moedims. And again, times. That's Yah's appointed times, not the ones we decide to make up. We are supposed to be a light unto the house of Israel. We are supposed to be a light to the house of Judah until the Most High makes us one again. That we show everyone that keeping the commandments is not burdensome, it's not a burden, that keeping the commandments is a healthy thing, it's a righteous thing. It's a thing that leads you in to being perfect, to let you know that as a husband and wife, if you lie with each other, you're not defiling one another. To let you know that when you're loving your children and when you're loving your great-grandchildren or your grandchildren, when you're loving your nieces and nephews, that it comes from a place of purity, that no guile will be found in you. You don't have to teach them lies. You don't have to teach them about Santa Claus. You don't have to teach them about the Easter Bunny. You can tell them that they're in the land of their captivity, that these things are set up in place just to hurt you. But if you turn back to the Most High because you have favor in Him, that He will keep you safe where He has scattered you. That His word, His law is a sanctuary, as He tells you in Ezekiel, for you today. That the grace that He has shown you, even though that just like King David was tore up from the floor, we are once was tore up from the floor. As many sins that I did in my youth until the day that I live today, that He gave me enough grace I can keep telling my wife, my mother, my father, my children, that if you just turn away from the iniquity, the practicing of unrighteousness, and come back to the Father, He will keep us safe. He tells us that He can wipe out the sin from our hearts and our minds, that we can remember it no more, that He will ease that burden from us. But if we hold on to sin, if we hold on to iniquity, that is what lies at the door. Shaul, the one we call Paul, in the very next chapter in Romans 7, he teaches you the law of the Most High is holy, righteous, and good. The word that we speak should be the same from what our forefathers spoke from the beginning of time. When He comes back, will He find faith in the earth? Will He find the faith that you have passed down to your seed from generation to generation to generation? Will He find out that the teaching that you gave to your offspring was pleasant in His sight? Did you teach them to be a living sacrifice? Teach them that looking at different things could cause them to sin. But keeping with the Most High is a way to stop that sin from happening. We are seeking the Father while He can be found. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all His righteousness will be added unto you. David Rockefeller. He has 7 heart transplants. The rich, the wealthy, they can put new knee parts into the body at will, take out organs and put in new organs. But none of that place or even come close to what they're trying to do, the Father said he will do for us. If you keep his commandments, he'll give you eternal life. You will never have to worry about heart disease. You will never have to worry about cancer. You will never have to worry about diabetes, stroke, melanomas, carcinomas. You won't have to worry about rape, murder, incest, pedophiles. You won't have to worry about swine, bottom feeders. You won't have to worry about, is the water I'm drinking, has it been through a centrifuge and they strain out all the stool and now rerunning water, that same water back in my pipe so me and my children can drink it. You won't have to worry about the wars on horizon that the orange man Donald Trump is doing. You won't have to worry about the executive orders that Obama has put in place to put you into slavery. You won't have to worry about Russia going to war, Israel making up the first biometric chip that everybody in Israel has to go through that's going to spread to all 4 corners of the earth. You ain't going to have to worry about these things because he said he'll give you eternal life and he's going to take away all sin from this planet if you are chosen worthy in his sight. That means the water will be clean. The sky you look at will be clean. The earth will not be filled with all the sin from pesticides. All that stuff will go. The end of Esau. The end of Edom's kingdom will be the beginning of Jacob's commandments. We must walk in righteousness. We must love one another. We must teach our families what it is to be righteous. It's okay to give away all these false traditions of man. It's okay that they call you crazy. Okay, they don't understand that you don't want to keep none of their pagan days anymore. That they talk about you. It's the same thing they did to our Messiah. If they are willing to do it to him and you are his servant, who are you not to let them do it to you? But can we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I want to play one little song. So the house of Israel can know that our Father loves us.
He is the one that has set us free from sin and from death. Give me a little hiccup. Let's try it in another format. All right, here we go. Hopefully you can hear it if you didn't want to play. So let's go back to our call and process. We'll play this, and then we'll get off the line. Y'all can enjoy your Sabbath day with the Most High. Y'all can continue in the grace that our Messiah has shown us, the favor that he gives us.
Turn back to Ani, Kaya. God who lives. Defeated. This sin will not reign over you no more.
Have faith in your Messiah, the creator of every day. All praise and glory to our Elohim. So, Israel, that is it.
On the lesson that we had on grace, hope you're able to hear the song. A little speaker thing went off in his little thing and went to headset. But all praises to the Most High, to my brothers and sisters that I know in the faith, my thoughts and prayers are with you. Enjoy your Sabbath day. May the Most High dwell with all y'all richly, that his life and your life is one, that you have enough strength to rebuke Satan so he can flee. Every last one of us that's in this walk, Hasatan is trying to get us. He's walking through this earth looking at who he can devour. Let's stay prayed up with each other in this hour. Let's continue to communicate with each other in this hour. Let's be the veins, a rock to one another, so we won't see a brother or sister fall to this temptation. Shalom, Israel. All praises. Psalm Ashiala, Barakatah.